Well, I'd like to first of all say thank you to Lance for all the work that he put into it, and just give him a hand for it. Now, I would like to also, and I'm gonna kind of briefly preach about something that sort of goes right in line with that. But I want to say one thing, kind of going in the same direction that Lance was talking about as far as the reporting. You know, it's not about reporting what we do, but I do want to say, and I want to lean on some people this morning, and I'm going to make a couple of people uncomfortable. I'm going to apologize in advance for that, but I want you all to know that I love you very much, and I think it is important to report to a degree. The reality is that in this, in our nation, in our state, in our community, in our church, we are raising a generation of young people that are dependent. They're dependent on the generation ahead of them to teach them, to mentor them, and to train them what it looks like to be kingdom citizens. Now, one of the things that my generation is, I'll be honest with you, is failing at, and I'm pointing the fingers at my generation, me. We are failing at teaching our children the very simple truths of Scripture. We're raising right now in America the most biblically illiterate generation we've ever produced, because my generation is failing at teaching the Bible. I don't know if we're failing at sitting down with our kids and saying, this is what the Bible says. I don't know if we're failing at requiring them to study. I don't know if we're failing at modeling Bible study. One of the things that I tell my kids over and over and over again, and guys, it might be my job, and you know, that's just one of the perks. A lot of perks that go with preaching. One of them, one perk that you know that you get from preaching is at all hours of the night your phone might ring. That's one of the perks. One of the perks from preaching is that you're never off limits to the people that you serve. So at any time you can be called to come and do something for somebody else. That's one of the perks. One of the perks is that I get to study the Bible most days, every day. And I tell my kids that. I mean, they might get sick of me saying how much of this I'm into every day. And that my kids might get sick of me quoting Scripture to them. Most conversations we have, I give you a verse, don't I? Give you a chapter. Give you some. You know, I don't know, but we're failing our kids because we're not, I don't know whether we're not studying with them, we're not requiring them to study, or we're not modeling Bible study. That's what's happening. One of the things, and I'll be honest with you, we're raising right now in this country one of the most self-centered generations that we've ever produced. And you know why? Not because we don't tell them they need to serve. Not because we don't tell them that. Not because we don't, not because there's a lack of things to do for other people. But because the generations ahead aren't reporting. They're not reporting. So I'm going to make some people uncomfortable this morning, because I believe it's important for the younger generation to understand exactly what y'all do and how much you do it. I want to ask Beth, how many people have you told about the wedding that you planned for a young lady who had nobody to help her? Not even a lot of her own family. Someone that you knew of, took your own time, your own money to make sure that this young lady had a wedding that she could be proud of. Because that's a gift that this lady has. The artistic gift, the gift of caring. Probably 100 or more woman hours planning that. Selfless. Did you get paid for that? No. No checks. Money came out of her pocketbook to make that happen. That side of the room needs to know about that. Miss Margie sits with people, visits people, goes to nursing homes, goes to assisted living, brings the preacher and his family dinner with Miss Annie. That side of the room needs to know those things. Miss Andy, I mean, I could go through, you know, I put a check in the collection plate this morning that was not from, I put one in there from me, but one that was not from me that Miss Jeanette brought me this week and said, hey, somebody that I'm reaching out to, somebody that I'm trying to bring into the kingdom, somebody that I'm serving, somebody that I'm loving on, and they heard about the ministry that we've got. And so here's a check. And it was a substantial amount of money that this person gave and said, you know what, just put this towards your Christmas baskets, please. Nobody would ever know that. You know why? Because there's a generation that serves that for some reason the devil has sold y'all this lie that it's not humility, it's not humble, it's not godly to talk about it. And you know what happens is that the generations that come up don't know of all of the love and all of the giving, all of the selflessness that's out there. They don't know what it looks like because we're not telling them. So as I'm praising Miss Beth and Miss Margie and Miss Annie and Jeanette and Doris, and I could go through the, just, you know, I'm sure I could pick out some men who are doing it too. I'm praising you guys, but I also want to challenge you. Take these young people and tell them. Tell my generation. Tell our kids. This is what it looks like on a daily basis. This is what it looks like for the Lord to come into your life and to change you, to make you care about other people, and to give to the community in personal ways. And what the world would say is that you're generous to a fault. You know, that's where I want to go this morning is, you know, the world would say, you know, there's just, you know, you're going to get, if you live that way, guess what? You're going to get taken advantage of. People are going to just keep coming and keep coming and keep, and they're just going to take advantage of you. And, you know, there is the such thing as too much giving. And so they will say, you know, that person's generous to a fault. And I'm here to tell you, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. We cannot give of ourselves, of our talents, of our resources, of our time. We cannot give back into the kingdom to the point that it hurts us. The devil is trying to sell us that lie to keep people from seeing what transformed lives look like. And Highland Hills is a place where I'm proud to say the devil's losing that fight because of efforts like Kingdom Assignments. Because of the example of so many men and women who selflessly give, the devil's losing that fight. You see, you can't be generous to a fault because in 1 Timothy 6:10, it says that loving money, loving what we claim to be our own is a root that can grow evil. Whatever it is that we value over the kingdom, whatever it is that we value over depending on God, is a root that can from it grow evil in all areas of our life. But in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9, generosity is a root that grows blessings. You see, in Proverbs chapter 22, it says a generous man is himself blessed because he shares his food with the poor. You see, we like to say, and as you know, as Hayden prayed this morning, you know, God, thank you for all of the blessings that we have. In Kingdom Assignments, we might have found out that some of the stuff that we call blessings are really curses. When you were going through your closets, were there things that you thought and you know you realized, oh man, I haven't used that in 10 years or 5 years or whatever, you know, or going through the garage and seeing things that, oh man, I forgot I even had that, and you thought, well, I'm going to give that, I'm going to sell it, I'm going to bring the money, I'm going to give it to the church. Oh, you know what? Ooh, I just really don't want to part with that. I might not have used it in a while, but I might need it, and I don't want to. I tell you what, I'll give this little something here instead. I would contend that whatever we left in that closet, whatever we struggled over is not a blessing but a curse. Isn't that what happens when we accumulate so much stuff that we have to create and maintain places to take care of it and keep it. And then we have to worry about someone breaking in and stealing it. So we have to protect it and maybe even protect it with our life. And we even have the philosophy that if you try to take this stuff from me, I will defend it with taking your life. And your life is less important than my stuff. Not a blessing. It's a curse. Generosity is a root that grows blessing. In 1 Timothy, we've already read, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. We're living this scripture today. Are we not? You know, we talk about, man, what would it be like to live in Bible times? Church, look around. We are living Bible times. We're living the Word of God right now. I mean, there's not one of us in this room that can't say, that's happening today. Wealth and stuff and investments. What's the one word you keep hearing over and over again on CNN or on Wolf Blitzer or whoever's talking about the economy? The one word that we hear over and over when talking about the economy. Uncertain. It's uncertain. Did you ever realize you're a Bible character? You really are. You know, it isn't just about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and all those. It's about us. We are living in this scripture, not to put their hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You see, there's something that God wants us to know about being generous. There are some very specific, real, working truths that our God wants us to understand what it does for us, what it means, what we need to know about being generous. Not just generous with the money or the talents that He gives us. Kingdom Assignment 1 was about 24 people? 24 families coming forward, getting $100 and going out into the community and being generous with that. Kingdom Assignment 1 was not just about being generous with collected funds, but it was about being generous with our money, our time, our thoughts, our reality of what God can do. And the one thing that we learned in Kingdom Assignment 1 is what God says right here in 1 Timothy. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. You see, generosity leads to joy. Think about this. Think about the... And I'm just, you know, I'm going to real quickly verbally deal with a couple of things that I know is going on in the audience right now. There are a couple of types of ears listening this morning. There's one type of ear that's listening thinking, oh my goodness, not another giving sermon. I'm giving as much as I'm going to give. I'm not going to give any more. And if I hear giving one more time, I might even just make a deduction. There are people that are thinking that right now. And to them, I would say, please, please let God into your heart. Please let God into your heart. He wants to change your life, and your life will be better when you stop believing the devil's lies. Okay, there's one. There's another type of ear that's listening that is thinking, how can I do more? Is it possible? And to that I would say yes. Might not be financially. It might be time. It might just be, you know, how you can be generous with the stories of all the things that you're doing so that it will prime the pump of generations to come. So let's just say this. Think about now generosity leading to joy. Let me get back to that. Think about for a moment, maybe close your eyes. You know, I have to close my eyes. My ADD doesn't let me think about things. Think about all the money that you have right now. Think about all the stuff that you have. Think about the financial life that you have carved out for yourself. When you think about that, is joy the overall thought? Is that the overall picture that you have? When you think about your retirement, when you think about your 401k, when you think about your bills, your this, your that, is joy what comes to mind? Do you think about all of the stuff that you have and all of the whatever, and is it joy that comes to mind, or is it stress? Is it concern? Is it worry about whether or not I keep it, whether or not I lose it, whether or not somebody wants it, whether or not, you know, whatever it is. If it isn't joy, then what God is trying to tell you is to change your thinking about what you have and what you get. Change your thinking. Now, when you change your thinking, then you'll change your doing. That's a biblical truth. That's a principle. The good man speaks good from the good stored up in his heart. The evil man speaks evil from the evil stored up in his heart. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. From the overflow of what's inside of us is what comes out of us. That's in Matthew, and it's also in Luke. It's the truth. Change the way that you think about what you have. Because God says He's given us everything. He provides everything for our enjoyment. And what we do is we either turn what God richly provides into a blessing, or we turn it into a curse. Generosity leads to joy. Remember sermons. Now, I know I'm under the delusion that everybody goes home and remember, you know, memorizes sermons and all that kind of stuff. And think about this. Remember about 6 months ago, I said the one most important Christ-like attribute in your life is joy. If your life lacks joy, you're not Christ-like. Now, we can talk about all the good, all the holiness, all of this. You know, what would Jesus do? Jesus would be joyous, is what Jesus would do. And if we need more joy, generosity leads to that. Number two, from this scripture here, generosity is as generosity does. If we want to have more joy, we want to be more generous, then we need to be more generous. This is what Paul says. First of all, I love the first word in verse 17. It's in my Bible. It's circled. It's highlighted. There's exclamation points. I even have the Spanish upside down exclamation point at the end. Command. This is not an option. You see, in that day, what Timothy said to the people in that church, it went. He could command the people that he spoke to do something. And that was kind of a litmus test for whether or not they were transformed people, whether or not they listened to Paul, whether or not they listened to Timothy, whether or not they listened to the Word of God as it came from those that God had given them to hear it from. I think to our detriment, we have lost that. Not that I'm trying to command anybody anything, but I believe that as followers, we need to be more submissive to the leaders that God has provided. Let me just give you an example. Bill, Ward, and Earl. These guys come and command. Lance, Ward comes and says, I command you to give more. All right, we need to be the kind of people that understand that might need to happen. That might need to happen because God has given us leadership to guide us spiritually, to guide us physically in this walk. And if we trust that God has put them there, then we need to be those who would listen to commands. Now, we're not good at that. But He says, command those who are rich. That's everyone in this room. Not to be arrogant. And He goes on. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, be generous and willing to share. Those are action words. Let me just say this. If you feel like I give enough money to that church, I'm not giving any more. Okay, then do more good deeds. Give more good deeds. Give more kingdom assignment type stuff. Give more contributions to those who need you to mow their grass or to teach their classes or to babysit their kids while they go to work, or maybe to sit with an ailing parent. Then just do more good deeds. If money is so important that you can't part with another cent, then just do more good deeds. Now, the reality is, and I, you know, go back to my first example.
Just ask Beth. Good deeds are going to cost you. They'll cost you because you're going to want to do it. Everybody in here wants to do things with excellence. So as you serve somebody, you know what you're going to find out? Oh, man, I'm sitting with this person, and you know what? They need a new bedspread. You know that. And so what are you going to do? You're going to find yourself at Walmart, and you're going to buy them a new bedspread. Oh, God got your money. That's what happens. Says, generosity is it does. It only works when we're doing more. And the last thing, laying aside treasures here or laying up treasures in heaven. That's the reality, guys. There's no way around that. The fact that people are willing to give hours of their life here to the kingdom solidifies that they will spend hours with God in heaven. That's the trade-off. That's the trade-off. You ever wanted to lay your head down at night and just know that you're saved? Know that you are going to spend eternity with God. We're working on audience participation. Just raise your hand if you would like to know every night when you lay your head on the pillow that, man, if I don't wake up, I know. I don't hope. I don't wish. I know I will be in heaven with God. Raise your hand if you want that. You want to know how you get that? Okay, hands down. You want to know how you know? Give that day to God. And then when you lay your head down, you know, I gave today to God, so I've laid up my treasures in heaven. Whatever that day looks like. Whether it was somebody that you saw in need, whether it was making a contribution to this ministry, whether it was just, you know, thinking God thoughts that day, give that day. The more of this life that we give to God, the more that we will know we will be with Him forever. That's how it works. Didn't Matthew tell us? Jesus said, and Matthew recorded it, to, you know, do not lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust break it down and corrupt it, but lay up for yourself in treasures in heaven. Didn't Jesus say that? You know how you do that? You know how you put your treasures in heaven? You give away this life here. It's not as meaningful. It's not as meaningful. What that's going to look like to the world is generosity to a fault. What that's going to look like to the world is someone that they can point to and say, what a sucker. Oh, there's one born every minute. Boy, that Donna Roden, she lets people walk all over her. I'm telling you what, she does for people, and it's never going to come back to you. You say, you know what? You have no idea how much it will come back to me. Because I will spend eternity in heaven. You know, that guy, he doesn't get it. That's just not how the world works. It's how the kingdom works. We have a ministry leaders meeting this afternoon where the shepherds are going to, they put together the budget that the ministry leaders have given them and said, this is what I need to do the ministry. And it's, you know, and there's a number, and I'm probably letting the cat out of the bag. Is that $4,850 is the projected budget for next year. That's probably a little bit more than what we averaged this year. We're going to have to be generous. This congregation, if we want to do all of the kingdom work that these ministry leaders are proposing, $4,850 a week is what it's going to take. Now, I agree with Lance. I think so often we set our sights way too low. I believe that the people in this room, $4,850 is nothing. I believe the people in this room, we could give $6,850. I believe that with all of my heart. I know this. I know that laying up treasures in heaven is the most important thing in my life. And I want to be part of leadership that does that. So for me and my family, tithing is not an option. There are some weeks when it hurts a whole lot more than others. And there are some weeks when we're gone and we make it up. Now, I'm not saying we're perfect, but I'm saying that is a commitment that our family has made.
Vicky's going to finish nursing school. She's going to get a job. I get to retire. I don't have to die with my name on the door. That was our goal. That was our plan when we got married. She's going to get a job nursing. 10% of 10% of gross, boom, off the top, coming in. So I promise you, Ward, the contribution is going to go up by 10% of whatever she makes. Well, are we willing to make that commitment? Now, it's a growth. Starts with 2%, goes to 3, goes to 5, goes to whatever it is. Folks, if we're going to be kingdom people, if we're going to be not just do kingdom assignments, but be kingdom citizens, we have got to systematically let go of more and more of this place. Now, the world will tell you, and the thoughts and all of the things that you've been taught all of your life, is that's just another preacher trying to get your money. Let me tell you something. If we make budget or don't make, I don't get commission on anything over $48.50, I promise you. And if this, and I'll be honest, I don't want to go anywhere else. I love it here. But if this church went under, I could have a job next week. That's how many preachers are needed. I've turned down more jobs to leave Tullahoma since I've been here than you care to hear about. It's not about, oh, that's another preacher trying to get your money. It's about a preacher trying to get you to understand. And like Lance said, to get it. The more of this that we do, the more of heaven we will see. Promise you that it is the truth. And I love you enough to speak the truth. And guys, there are some hard hearts, even associated with Highland Hills, the most loving church I've ever known or heard of. There are some hard hearts that God wants to change. In 2010, going forward, will we be generous to a fault? The choice is ours. Now, in order to do that, we have to be transformed. We have to be people that we allow God to be the sole importance of. We need to confess Christ as our Lord and Savior. Put Him on in baptism. Have Him wash our sins away, past, present, and future, so that we know that we know Him and we are known by Him. If that is your need, we can accommodate that. You can come forward. You can confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can be buried in baptism and raised a new person for all of eternity. And then this world doesn't mean so much, and you're free to let go of it. Let go of your time. Let go of your talents. Let go of your wealth, and to really, really enjoy the stuff that God gives you. If that's what your need is, let us know as together we stand and as we sing.